You're tuned in to KCSB 91.9 FM, and this is the radio program of the Santa Barbara Independent. Yes, you guessed it. Another Poodle Radio. Yes, it is. KCSB 91.9 FM in Santa Barbara. My name's Colin Marshall, and this is Poodle Radio, the program that gives you two or three segments on what's going on in and around and pertaining to Santa Barbara, what's related to the issue of the paper out every Thursday morning, just like this show is. Little way of background information. I write for the Indie. I write about KCSB and about books, and I do this show every Thursday, 8 until 9. Hope to have you here listening in every morning. We have a lot planned, so I am not going to delay any more than is absolutely necessary to tell you about the music you're hearing right now. The artist is writer. The name is Miss Mermaid. Yeah, I'm reading totally off the iTunes columns here. But this is one of the tracks supplied by pop culture editor Allie Cummingore. She does this every week, and writers playing Muddy Waters Cafe on Thursday, July 26th. More music, more concert info coming up. Just on the other side. Now, we have on this show talk about boxing gyms, we have talk about puppets, and we also have talk about kayaking. Joining us just across the glass here in Studio A, first up, we have someone, if you've read about travel-y type adventure in the Indie, you might well have read one of her articles. Rebecca Bachman, welcome to the program.
Hi.
And you also have with you... Who do you have? Introduce who you have with you, actually. You can do it. I will take a back seat for a moment.
This is Sam. He came kayaking with me on Sunday.
Excellent. Now, this article is going to appear on independent.com soon, run in the paper soon. We want to give people a preview. Where were you kayaking?
We were kayaking on Santa Cruz Island in Painted Cave.
Tell us, I don't want to rehash what I read in your article, so let's see. Just... from a kayaker's perspective, what is cool about this place?
Well, it's the second biggest sea cave in the world. So it's enormous. It's full of sea lions. The walls appear to be painted because of all the mineral deposits that leave colorful stuff everywhere. So it's really cool.
Now, tell us how this came about, how this trip came together.
Well, I guess the Santa Barbara Adventure Co. sends someone from the Indie every year out on a trip. And this year it was me.
How did you get to be the lucky one?
That's a good question. I guess I was probably the only one who was free that early on a Sunday.
Excellent, excellent. And Sam, I take it you were free as well?
I was very free and also probably more lucky.
Now, what's your own kayaking background? Do you have one? Or?
I've only done a little bit of ocean kayaking and canoeing and rivers and lakes, but never anything as intense as what happened this weekend.
Now, I want to hear from you guys a little more about the Santa Barbara Adventure Company. The name may say it all, but who are these guys?
They do tours around Santa Barbara area, so they don't only go on boat trips to the island, but they also do wine tours and all types of tourism.
Now, to get to a place like Painted Cave, I mean, do you have to go through an organization like this, or is it someplace you can just go? I need to pitch this at a level of someone who maybe has never even gone in a kayak or a sea cave, but I'm sure they want to know more about this.
Well, I know there are a lot of different companies that offer trips out to the islands. Whether they go to Painted Cave specifically, I'm not sure, but like when we were there, we saw a private sailboat that had sailed there themselves, so if you can find a friend who knows how to sail, you can go.
So your guys' direct impressions of Painted Cave, I want to hear from both of you just what this experience was actually like of going in. We can read the descriptions, we can read the brochures, but what did it actually feel like?
I felt like Neil Armstrong. Like, you sit in Santa Barbara and you see the Santa Cruz Island through the mist every day, and it's kind of like the moon. Like, you can see it, but it's so inaccessible, and when you finally get there, it's just the most breathtaking, ridiculous place, and the geography is so rugged compared to the mainland, and to actually see this cave and to get to see it first from the ship and have the ship pull in, and you could really, like, feel the gravity of how huge this cave was, because this 60-foot ship that you had just ridden across the channel in was sitting inside the mouth of this cave. And then you pull out and get in the kayaks, and you can really get inside, and they give you flashlights, and you can see all the different areas of the cave. And as Rebecca had mentioned, there was a sailboat that had arrived just before we did, and they brought a little dinghy all the way into the back of the cave, and that cleared out some of the bigger alpha male sea lions that normally prohibit the tours from going as far deep as we got to go. So we really got to penetrate the depths of the cave, and it was amazing.
And the sea lions do come up in this article, as in maybe they're creatures you might want to stay away from. Is that right?
Well, they're territorial.
Right.
But other than that, they're mostly harmless unless they feel threatened.
In which case they do what?
I don't know. I guess they start by barking at you and then kind
just
of trying to push you away in the water. I don't know what would happen if you didn't leave their area.
Nobody wants to test that theory, I guess. Now, the boat you went in on, it's one of the I believe, three from the Santa Barbara Adventure Company. What was this, what was this boat like?
Actually, it was one of three boats owned by Truth Aquatics, which is an independent company.
Okay, Truth Aquatics.
Right, they work together, I guess. The boat was, I think, 65 feet. It's the smallest of their three boats. It's from 1973, so it's pretty old school, but it was really nice. It fit, I mean, I don't know what the capacity is. It wasn't close to full, though, and it was a nice boat, yeah.
Just as a brief aside, 1973, I mean, was there any remaining avocado green or burnt orange anywhere on this boat?
Not that we could find.
Oh, it's too bad.
We looked pretty hard.
In any case, this, you mentioned, Sam, that this, you get to this island, it exists as kind of a hazy place that you see when you're on land here. I want to know if it's, I mean, is going up to this like kind of like what you would expect? Or you mentioned the word ridiculous. I want to hear more about that.
Well, I don't mean to ridicule the island. It's
certainly, but in a good way, in a very good way, ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just so much more breathtaking than you can even imagine from the mainland. You don't really realize how far away it is. It took us 2 hours on the boat, and I would recommend those among us who have not spent a lot of time on boats taking Dramamine, because it can be choppy. But it really defies radio. Sorry.
Yeah, I know. Most things do. That's why we have to, you know, we tantalize, we say read the article, but ultimately you kind of have to actually see it.
And the
it,
tour right? guides that brought us out, really, they are specific to that tour, and they really know those caves really well, and were able to show us things that we would not have been able to see probably had we not gone out there with them. You would really need a pretty high level of kayaking experience to be able to go into the places that we saw and to access what we got to see, which felt really fortunate.
Now, you guys, what sense do you have of how complicated navigationally these caves were? I mean, is this a place you can get lost in? Or, I mean, people hear cave and they picture, that's a big hole in a rock. Like, but it sounds like there's a lot more to it than that when you get in there.
Yeah, there's a lot more to it than that. Because every time you go around a cove or a point, there's a whole new set of rugged cliff, and you can't really tell the difference between any of the areas unless you know, like, which caves to look for. And in that case, Painted Cave is easy to spot because it's the biggest one, but there are a ton of smaller caves, too. I think Santa Cruz Island has the most per density biggest caves in the world out of all places in the world, So it's just full of caves. It's really craggy, and it's really difficult to distinguish the different areas of cliff from one another.
Sorry, it looked like you were going to say something, Sam. I wasn't going to cut you off.
I was just going to say craggy is a really good word.
And there's I mean, even aside from there's the visuals of the cave, which is one of the striking descriptions in the article. But also, you know, I come away thinking a lot about the actual crew you had, Rebecca, you read about
right.
some characters, I guess you could call them. What was this crew like?
Well, they really made the trip for me, actually. The Truth crew was really cool. Those guys are self-proclaimed sea nomads. They've been working on Truth Aquatics boats and going on like sailing trips and biking trips all over the world, along with studying, you know, geology and geography and doing research dives. So they've got a lot of character. They just love the sea and everything they've been doing on it. And the guides that we had were also really cool. One of them was only a part-time guide. That's Aaron, and he's a photographer too. And both of them had just been doing various gigs that sounded really fun for their whole lives.
Right. It seems like I don't have so much data on this, but it seems like for these cool trips, the guides on them, I mean, they tend to lead these like really fascinating lives. You have more experience on these sorts of trips than I do, almost certainly. Can you confirm that impression?
Yeah, absolutely.
You meet them and it's like,
I want
Man,
that.
Did
life.
I do something wrong? I know.
Yeah.
And Sam, what did you think of the guides?
Oh, geez.
I want to hear both versions of the story.
While I was frigid up on the deck, heaving, KG was in board shorts, just romping around straight out of a Jimmy Buffett concert. Like, he was the man.
They're at home. They would be not at home any other place but doing exactly this.
Throwing kayaks, but then get the guy talking about whale research and geology and information systems mapping, and he's like really, really on it. It was kind of the case with all the guides. The issue of Edible Santa Barbara this quarter has a photograph that was taken by one of our guides who was also just taking amazing pictures the whole time we were there, which I got to see a few of. And his pictures came closer to doing it justice than an underwater disposable camera, I think, it could have.
Probably so. Now, do you come away from this trip with a sense that like there's a lot more to explore specifically there, and it would be worth some return trips just to figure the place out some more? Or what I guess I want to know is, does it stoke you to like explore Painted Cave itself more, or is it like, well, now I got to see the other islands? Now it's like, you know what I mean? It's vague,
yeah.
But I have an actual idea, I swear, behind that question.
Well, all of the islands are really distinctly different from each other.
Right.
So I would really love to have a chance to go back and explore all of them, and not just for a day, you know, but like camp on each of them for a while.
Right.
The only thing is it's kind of expensive trip, so. Yeah.
You have to wait for the Santa Barbara Adventure Companies of the world to say, hey, you're a writer.
Right.
Go over there. Now, then speaking of occupation, Sam, as I understand it, you're supposed to be at work right now.
I am supposed to be at work right now. And if anybody at the farm is listening, hola, amigos.
So what's the farm? Let's tell us a little bit about the farm.
So the farm is Shepherd Farms. It's in Carpinteria. Tom Shepherd has been farming since the Truth ship that we rode out to Santa Barbara or Santa Cruz Island on was created in 1973.
Wow.
And he's been farming all over Santa Barbara and in Santa Ynez. He farms a UCSB research area that's part of the Sedgwick Reserve. And Tom's salad greens are in tons of restaurants. We bring food out to UCSB during the year. And the property where I work is a 40-acre organic strawberries and any kind of vegetable we can plant. As the time of year permits.
Right.
There are five full-time people and various volunteers and apprentices, and it's in a really beautiful setting, and we have people come out and buy produce from us. We do farmers markets, and we run a CSA, which we actually just started bringing boxes to Goleta for the first time this
week.
Now,
for those who don't get those, explain a little bit what a CSA is.
So that acronym stands for Community Supported Agriculture, and it basically means that people will sign up for a subscription of about 13 weeks, and they will pay up front, which helps out the farm because finances are always a really troublesome spot with farming. And the people get basically a subscription of what the farm is producing for that season, and they get it at a discount, and they can either come pick up their subscription at the farm, or we can deliver their boxes to any number of drop-off locations. And now we are dropping in Goleta, so we're trying to get the push out for UCSB students and Isla Vista residents to add some local produce into their diets.
And finally, just a little bit, a little impression from you. What's cool about farming here, specifically in this area?
So I'm from Kansas, and we grow 99% corn and soybeans and wheat. And
you definitely know what those look like on the side of the roads for many miles.
And to come to one of the, I believe it's in the top 1% of all ag producing counties in the country, where you can grow all year round and where you can grow the variety of different plants and fruits and vegetables that you can grow, and then just go over the mountains 40 minutes and have a totally different climate where you can do a whole wide range of other things. Just really, people here don't realize how fortunate they are to be able to have access to almost their entire diet within 100 or even 50 miles in Santa Barbara. And to see all of the farmers that are here and how much enthusiasm there is, and not even among the farmers, but among the consumers, because people here are really informed as to how important not only organic produce is, but local produce, because local produce helps the local economy, and local farmers are more likely to be paying a living wage to their workers and to be actually making a living wage themselves, and to be more in touch with the quality of their produce rather than huge producers that are in an office somewhere wholly on a part of the production process.
We've been speaking about local farming, but also about this trip to Painted Cave, which you can read about going up on independent.com, I believe, tonight, and it'll be in an issue soon. Rebecca, Sam, thanks so much for taking the time this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Poodle Radio, the radio program of the Santa Barbara Independent on KCSB 91.9 FM. We will keep it rolling. We've got so much more to talk about. But first, a little bit of music. We're going to hear from the Steve Miller Band. This is One in a Million. Where are they playing? Well, you will find out just on the other side on Poodle Radio, KCSB 91.9 FM. Thank you.
Thank you. UCSB Arts and Lectures, Santa Barbara's County Park Foundation and Arts Commission, and the Santa Barbara Film Commission present Gotta Sing, Gotta Dance, the great American musical on film. Free movie screenings on consecutive Wednesdays and Fridays, running from July 6th through August 26th.
Each Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m., Wonderful Wednesdays, Arts and Lectures will host screenings in UCSB's Campbell Hall. Campus presentations of classic Hollywood musicals from the 1930s through the 1950s are being paired with the Courthouse Movie Series, which will host free outdoor showings of the same films each subsequent Friday night at 8:30 p.m., Fabulous Fridays, at the Cranny Courthouse Sunken Garden in downtown SB, where guests are invited to bring blankets, lawn chairs, and refreshments.
The lineup features Top Hat, July 6th and 8th, Swing Time, July 13th and 15th, Ziegfeld Girl, July 20th and 22nd, The Gang's All Here, July 27th and 29th, The Ziegfeld Follies, August 3rd only, On the Town, August 10th and 12th, Singing in the Rain, August 17th and 19th, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, August 24th and 26th.
The County Courthouse is at 1100 Anacapa Street. KCSB is a media supporter of Arts and Lectures Summer Cinema. For more information, go to artsandlectures.ucsb.edu or call 805-893-3535.
UCSB Arts and Lectures, the Santa Barbara County Park Foundation, the Santa Barbara County Arts Commission, and the Santa Barbara Film Commission present Gotta Sing, Gotta Dance, free film screenings on consecutive Wednesdays and Fridays through August 26th. Wednesday, July 13th and Friday, July 15th will feature Swing Time. The sixth musical starring the dancing duo of Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers has them swinging their way through gambling woes and tangled love affairs to Jerome Kern numbers like Never Gonna Dance, A Fine Romance, and The Way You Look Tonight. Screenings will take place on Wonderful Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. at UCSB's Campbell Hall and on Fabulous Fridays at 8:30 p.m. under the stars at the Santa Barbara County Courthouse Sunken Garden. All screenings are free and open to the public. For more information, UCSB Arts and Lectures can be reached at 805-893-3535 or online at www.artsandlectures.ucsb.edu. KCSB is a media supporter of the Gotta Sing, Gotta Dance, the great American musical on film.
KCSB 91.9 FM in Santa Barbara. My name is Colin Marshall. A little bit of metal organized by pop culture editor Ali Cummingore. That's Liturgy with High Gold. They're playing Muddy Waters Cafe on Friday, July 22nd. And before them, we heard from our usual series of sort of very, very different bands from one another. Yourself in the Air with Sick Days. Where are they playing? That's a good question. Muddy Waters, looks like, on Wednesday, July 20th. And before them, we heard the Steve Miller Band with One in a Million. They're playing the Libero on Tuesday, July 19th. And we're going to hear a little bit more music while we're getting set up for our next segment in here. We're going to be talking about a guy who made his own kind of universe, I guess you could call it. It's several different art forms. It's music, it's puppets, it's all kinds of stuff. Stay tuned to Poodle Radio on KCSB 91.9. We'll be right back with him. KCSB 91.9 FM in Santa Barbara. My name is Colin Marshall. You're tuned into the program of the Santa Barbara Independent, Poodle Radio. Another cut organized by Ali Cummingore, pop culture editor at the Indie, King Khan and the Shrines, with Que Lindo Sueño. They're playing the Mercury Lounge on Thursday, July 14th. Now, we have the musical theme still going on this show with our next guest. You can see him in the list of the week in the issue of the Indie that's just come out. His name is Matthew McAveen. Matthew, welcome.
Hey, Colin. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate being here.
Sure thing. And I want to get right into what you have created. Tell me about Mackie World.
Mackie World, original stuff for original kids. It's a kids-based business concept that I have developed through going through an entrepreneurship program over at the City College. And it basically is broken down into a couple of different main components. One is entertainment for kids, and the other is products for kids. So the entertainment aspect of it, my main partner, who's not here right now, he's off at a robot camp learning how to build robots and
robot
stuff.
Camp.
Yeah, my son, 9-year-old Ben McAveen, he is my partner in crime, co-designer for a lot of these characters that we come up for Mackie World. Now, we do a show together called Finding Picasso, and it's on YouTube. So if you go to YouTube and just type in Finding Picasso, you'll come up with the show that we do together. It's kind of a father-son show where we create stuff in our home art studio. So the premise is that Ben, my 9-year-old boy, will create something, and then I'll create something directly inspired by what he creates. And and through that, we discover a lot of different characters and create a lot of different artwork. And we're also visited by puppet friends and that kind of thing.
Tell me a little bit about some of the denizens, if I never get that word right, of Mackie World. I mean, what are some of the characters that really are important to holding up this universe?
Well, there's a story that's being created in the process of writing it, and eventually it'll be we'll tour around and do some school assemblies and stuff like that at elementary schools. But it's based on a main character. His name's Joe Average, and he is kind of a reptilian slash human type character, very innocent, very pure, and he has a great deal of creativity that is not understood by the tribe that he grows up with. Hmm. And so he sets off to in search of some answers to some questions that have arisen in his dreams, to find the truth, whatever it may be. He doesn't know what it is. So he sets out and he meets a variety of characters. One character is Cole Gold, and he's he's a fish, but he's almost like a rap star slash, there's an undertone of him being kind of a pimp, but that never gets said in the story.
Right, just implied.
It's just there with all the bling that he's wearing, the gold chains and the gold rings and
right,
whatnot.
Right.
Plus the gold tooth, and he kind of talks like this. You know, he's got a little bit of a lift and whatnot. and then each character has like a special power that they're good at. Cole Gold's is social networking.
Naturally, yeah. It's an important skill in this day and age, right?
And then, you know, he sets off off on this journey. He meets a robot his name is Beeps, and his special powers are communication and gadgetry, and each has their own story and the reason why they are where they are, and they all end up kind of teaming up, and they discover on the backside of this planet that they're all living on is a supercomputer that's out of control and it's kind of taken over the universe. And so they need to stop the supercomputer before it grows so much that it ends up destroying the world that they live on.
The stakes are very, very high.
Are real high, yeah.
I want to ask a little bit about the process of collaboration you have going here. You know, you said your partner in crime slash son is out at Robot Camp, but what's it like working with someone so young who, you know, obviously they've got within them the sort of the interest that you want to tap into for a project like Mackie World, but it sounds like it's one of these things that's got to be harder than it sounds like.
Well, there's some challenges with it, but as long as you know, I don't force anything and make anything kind of artificial or contrived, it all flows naturally, and it's a wonderful collaboration. It's amazing and awesome to experience the vast, expansive, wild imagination and creativity of a 9-year-old, and to be able to allow it to run wild and not put parameters or rules on it. The beauty of art is that there's really no rules to it, and to encourage him to just, you know, think way outside the box, and it's awesome to see the results of that, because you know, I've always been telling him that anything is possible, and it's fun to watch all that kind of unfold, you know.
Now, of course, in Matt Kettman's List of the Week, and as you said earlier, there was this involvement of the SPCC in an entrepreneurial program. What was that? What is that that you did?
Well, it's a 16. When I was doing it, it was a 16-unit program where you take a series of entrepreneurship classes. Some are law classes, some are business classes, some marketing, business plan development, and that kind of thing. And by the end of it, you end with a class of a business plan development class that allows you to and forces you to go through the process of creating a business plan for your business concept. And so that was a really helpful process. And at the end of the semester, we had like a business plan competition where the teacher called in like a few judges. One was Mayor Marty Bloom and then a couple of other successful entrepreneurs. And then they vote on who had the best business plan. And I ended up, my expectations were low, but I ended up winning the contest. Maybe it was a combination of having the visual components there to kind of help support the PowerPoint presentation and stuff.
Right.
But that was a good experience over at the City College. They have really qualified teachers that were kind of guiding us step by step. And it is really helpful as an artist because you know, a lot of times as an artist, you have all these wonderful creative ideas, but to put the rubber to the road, so to speak, you know, it requires the business aspect of it. And so I've been able to be fortunate enough to develop that side of my my mind, you know, so I'm not 100% creative. I'm, you know, I got the creative side, but I can also handle the business side too.
Now, to flip on over to the other side, we see, I mean, I see that on the other side of the glass, you've got your guitar ready, you're mic'd up. What do you want to play to cap this segment off?
Well, I have a song. I have a song called "Sun," but I'd like to play that a little bit later because it's kind of serious. Right now, I want to do a song, kind of giving an example of a project that my son and I are doing called the Deep Sea Hermits, which is it's kind of a hip hop based group that we're going to produce and put up YouTube videos, music videos of you know, these music videos that are going to feature different puppet characters and feature my son doing kind of hip-hop dance and stuff like that. And I don't play this song with a guitar. This is kind of gives an example of how my son and I just kind of mess around while we're driving around and come up with these different songs. But this one's called Facebook Me. It goes like this. You can Facebook me, you can Facebook me, you can Facebook me, you can Facebook me. My page, you got my face and all the things I do. You can look at me and I can look at you. We can be like friends, just like Cybertrons. You can thumb it up or leave a comment on Facebook me. You can Facebook me. You can Facebook me. You can Facebook me. Yeah, that's kind of
nice.
That's the creative process there.
And that's, you know, couldn't be more relevant, I think, to the kids coming up today than there's the applause.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll be here all week.
And to make this a two-song set, how about on the guitar? What do you got?
Oh, okay. So this is a more of a kind of a serious, a little more serious song. It's called "Sun." I recently played it at a wedding for my nephew and my new niece, for the mother and son dance of my nephew and my sister-in-law. And it was written with my son in mind, and then thinking about the relationship of parent and child, and how the time seems to go really quick as a parent when you you watch them grow up, and then suddenly they're all grown up and they're moving on. So this is called "Son." Bring the microphone a little closer.
Everything we see. part of you, every single part of me, everything we've seen in the universe is made of the same stuff. It's made of our love. Everything we've seen in the universe is every single part of you. Shine like a star. You light up my heart. You're home in my arms. Sun, you shine like a star. You light up my heart.
Matthew McAveen, creator of Mackie World. And in the last couple seconds, I just want to say you'll be in the list of the week this week. And where do they go on the web to find out more?
Oh, check out MackieWorld.com. Right now we have a splash page up, but it has links to our Twitter and Facebook and our YouTube page. So if you want to check out our shows, just go to MackieWorld.com and then click on the YouTube channel. And you can check it out. Please sign up for the mailing list, too, because we're going to launch our website in August, and I'd love to let you know what's going on.
Matthew McAveen, thank you, and stay tuned, audience. We are going to talk about the Primo Boxing Club. Going to give you the info on the cover story in just a moment on Poodle Radio, the radio program of the Santa Barbara Independent. Now for a little change of pace, Warren G. Stay tuned. It's Poodle Radio. Indeed, you made your own lane. All these albums we drop will never be the same without your voice on them. I'm thinking that's the key.
Nice.
Choked up, smoked out, riding to these melodies. Reminiscing memories. On my way to visit you in therapy, hoping God make it clear to me on what the plan is. This dirty game is hella scandalous, so this right here is dedicated to Nate. This is dedicated to you. It's really something special, making dreams come true. Seems hard to figure out what this world is all about. This is dedicated. This is dedicated to you. From the dope spots to popping on the charts, grinding in the beach to make it on the streets, touring overseas, cementing legacy, writing history with every song you sing. It is Warren G, a track supplied by Ali Cumingore, the pop culture editor of the Santa Barbara Independent. This is dedicated to you. And where is he playing? When is he playing? Let's find out very briefly. Velvet Jones, Friday, July 22nd. Now, if you've seen the cover of the Santa Barbara Independent this morning, this Thursday morning, when they all come out, you'll have seen the Primo Boxing Club is on the cover, specifically one kid who looks ready to fight. The author of the story is Chris Marr. Chris, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Colin.
Now tell us who you have with you in the studio.
With me this morning are Joe and Jean Pommier, the couple that runs Primo.
Right, and you're the subject of the story. Primo's the subject. You're doing a lot of great things for kids. First of all, tell us about the mission of Primo.
Well, our mission is to kind of keep kids from getting in gangs in the first place.
Right.
So we work as a deterrent to that. If you have programs that run, you know, 5-6 days a week, then these kids always have a place to go. Right. So there's no downtime where you have to figure out, well, what am I going to do today, you know?
Yes, yes, yes.
So it works really well for us, and our mission is to help kids get through life without ending up on the streets and getting through school and college if we can possibly manage it.
And Joe, I want to get this clear right away. There's a Beware of Joe sign in the what does that sign say in the gym?
Actually, yes, it is the Beware of Joe sign.
Why should they beware of Joe?
You know what? I'm a pretty tough guy. actually one of the kids brought me that from a vacation they were on. So.
Ah, I see. Yeah. I see.
So I stuck it up there just, and everybody sees it when they walk in. They're like, Beware of Joe. What? You know?
How many kids partake in this? You know, come by. How many would you say you've seen come to Primo and, you know, work out, get in better shape, enjoy themselves, learn some discipline, not get in trouble? I mean, what's the scale of the amount of kids in this operation?
Over the past 16 years, we've had thousands of kids come through Primo. And most of them, even if they've gone on to, you know, they've grown up, they've got kids of their own, or they've got careers, they still come by and see us, or they email us, or go on Facebook and let us know what they're doing, whether they just took their bar exam or whatever it is. So, literally thousands. We have between 15 and 30 a night, and then different ones during the week, you know, whatever their schedule is.
Now, Chris, there's, of course, a reason this is the cover story. Tell us what's going on with Primo at the moment.
Well, I got a call from someone a month or two ago and they had mentioned that they had heard that Primo Boxing had been closed, and that really struck me because everywhere I go in town at least, you know, people laud the program. People talk about what a great program it is, and I think I have a quote in there from somebody that says something along the lines of, you know, it'd be a shame to lose a program that works like Primo does.
Right.
And, you know, these are tough times where money is tight and the impression is that money is tight with Primo as well, and you know, funding from the city has been cut and funding from other fundraisers has been cut, and so it's a challenging time for Primo.
And now to talk to both of you, the people at the top of Primo, you know, I read Chris's story and it sounds like you guys have got it down as far as working on a small budget, right? I mean, you get a lot from a little, and you sounds like you've been doing that pretty well. I mean, what have been your strategies to sort of make a lot out of a modest budget?
Well, most of the time, it's not like we spend a lot of money on frivolous stuff, and we don't go, we're not constantly telling them, oh, we're going to run for pizza, or we're going to do this and that. If we do something like that, I cook it.
And
we have an annual Thanksgiving dinner that is amazingly popular.
Mm.
We have an annual Christmas dinner that has become more popular every year. When we take them camping, I cook for them for 4 or 5 days, and the kids just love it. You know, we don't have to go out and do extraneous stuff to entertain these kids. For one thing, they're working out constantly.
Right.
And when they're not doing that, we're all getting together and just sitting there and talking. So I think a lot of times, you know, people try to take them on big trips and stuff like that, and it costs a lot of money. And that's nice. I'd love to do that. But our mission is to give them a chance to get healthy, to feel good about themselves, get through school, make their relationships between their families better. So we like to work on the whole person.
And Joe, it sounds like, you know, the core of what you're doing at Primo is something that doesn't cost any money. It's just, it's getting these kids working, you know, getting them disciplined, getting them regularly focused on something. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, we work out every day, and it's definitely a hard workout. It doesn't cost the kids a penny.
Right.
You know, they definitely have to put, you know, give it their all and put everything into it, workout. That's what I expect from them. You know, I feel if I'm giving them my time, they need to give me their time, and they all seem to do that really well. So
now, Anybody who reads Chris's story will become aware of what Primo does, and a lot of them will want to help. So I want to hear from all three of you. Now, what can people do if they hand to Primo at this time?
Well, you know, make a donation. It doesn't have to be much if there's enough people that care about it. I mean, even if we could get all the people that have been touched by Primo, whether it's been involved or a family member or whatever, pretty soon it becomes enough that we can take care of ourselves. You know, we've got my son and his friend started a website for us, Primo, saveprimo.info, and that's got a donation can on it. Or they can just stop by and say hello and drop off something. And we've got Fiesta coming up, and I need all the supplies.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, if all they have to do is open up their hearts a little bit, and whether it's $10 or $500, anything would help.
And when people have read your article, Chris, you know, any place you suggest they look for more information on Primo and what it does, or anybody you talk to that you'd recommend they talk to?
Well, talk to anybody who's ever walked by the place, I think, or, you know, ever been there, and you'll see. One thing that really struck me when I went a couple weeks ago, I talked to, you know, probably 10 kids or so, you know, and every single one of them, I think, used the word family to describe Primo, and I mentioned that in the story, you know, but that just really struck me. Every single one of them, whether they were 8 years old or whether they were, you know, 27, they all used that word to describe what Primo was. And I think, you know, the boxing is great, you know, the workout is great for kids, the getting help with homework is great, but put it all together and they're a family that cares about one another, you know. So I would just, you know, don't take my word for it. Go check it out yourself, you know, and see what great work they do.
And there's the Stork Tower bell signaling to me that I've pushed it over time, but I think it's important. It's the cover story you've been talking about, Primo Boxing Club, and how you can help them. Chris, Gene, Joe, thanks so much for taking the time to come on Poodle Radio this morning.
Thank you very much.
This is or has been Poodle Radio on KCSB 91.9 FM. We're here every Thursday, 8 a.m. till 9. Today a little past, so stay tuned for alternative radio. Hope to have you here next week.